Amen. Thank you, Brother Han. I appreciate that. What a good song. Amen. What a great truth in that song as well. Now let's go back, if we will, please. We're in John chapter 21, verse 3. Of course, Simon Peter saith unto them, he says this, I go a-fishing. And they say, unto him we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Very interesting is verse 4 in John 21. The Bible says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I want to speak this morning, as I said a moment ago, on the keys of not quitting. The keys of not quitting. There's a little boy, 8 years of age, and he was out in the backyard, and his dad gave him a ball, and he gave him a bat, and the little boy progressively took the bat and took the ball, and I'm talking about aggressively, Lynn, did he go out, and he threw the ball up as high as he could, and as the ball was coming down, he swung the bat, and he missed it. And so he thought he'd try it again. So he threw the ball up as high as he could, and he swung the bat even harder, and he missed it. Daddy's there a little bit concerned, and so he thought, well, maybe this time he'll get it. And so that boy, he, with all of his might, he threw that ball up, and as the ball came down, he missed it again. Daddy walked over, and he said, son, he said, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe playing ball is just not the key. Maybe that's not what you should be doing. I don't know. And he said, Daddy, he said, I know I missed the ball. He said, I know that. He said, but did you see that pitcher? Well, come on. Boy, that pitcher could pitch that ball. You know, sometimes I think that winning or losing is all in perspective. I think sometimes a person will look at something that they're lost or something, if you would please, that they came short on, and because of that, they give up. They give up way too easily, and it might be that God has a different plan for you. Somebody wrote this years ago, please don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when the care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but please don't quit. You know, we'll have times in our lives where it just seems like that the world is on our shoulders. We're going to have times in our lives when we have financial setbacks. You're going to have times in your lives when you have a relationship setback. You're going to have times in your life, if you will, where it just seems like nothing is going right. It seems like that every time you pick something up, it turns to coal. Please don't forget that coal under pressure does produce diamonds. Now, we understand that here we see Peter. Peter said, look, he said, I tell you what, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to the way I used to be. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, beloved, think not, think about this if you would please, Peter being the one that God used to edge these words. He says, beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, don't think it's strange when you go through fires. Don't think it's strange when you go through problems. Don't think it's strange when you go through difficulties. He said, don't think that strange, like something strange has happened to you. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, but rejoice. Now that's kind of odd, isn't it? He said, in other words, when you're going through fiery trials, when you're going through difficulties, he said, I got a word of advice to you. Peter is saying, rejoice. Rejoice. Now why? He said, insomuch that you are partakers with Christ's suffering, that, it says, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so the Bible talks about here that they had fished all night, they caught nothing. Well, Peter, no doubt, is thinking back to even that day when they fished all night and caught nothing. But he said this, he said, but he says, rejoice in so much that you partakers, it says, of the sufferings of Christ. You know, there's never a time when you go through a suffering, even in a backsliding state, or even in a state whereby you're not as close to Christ as what you ought to be. There's not a time that you go through suffering that God does not recognize that suffering. And he's there for you many times to be able to help you through, to be able to come closer to him. You think about some of the things that people have gone through. You know, at the beginning of the coronavirus, churches were stronger than I think they'd been in many years. But did you know that during the time of the coronavirus, there was 20,000 churches that shut their doors and never reopened them again? 20,000 churches shut their doors and never reopened them again. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you that I believe they could have reopened their doors if they wanted to. I think they could have done that if so they believe that God would help them. And they just show maybe a little bit more care, if you will, with some people. And I realize there's difficulties. I realize that. But I found out that churches that really wanted to make it, there was other churches that piled on and helped them to be able to make it. I found out that God raised some people up to be able to help churches, and there's even ministries out there today that help struggling churches to be able to make it so that they can be able to go forward to fulfill the will of God. Jeremiah chapter 16 verse 21, the Bible says, mine hand and my might. He says that they will know that my name is the Lord. I think before we give up on something, we ought to try to be able to trust God in every fabric. Don't give up on your marriage so quick, and don't give up on your child rearing endeavor so quick. Don't give up on a fellow brother or a fellow sister, so very, very quick. But ask God to be able to help. Let me give you some keys, if I may, this morning on not quitting. Statement number one, warfare always surrounds the birth of America. Warfare always surrounds that which is the birth of a miracle. You know, God wants us to be able to enjoy what he does in our lives. Listen to this, over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so we're not wrestling against each other, but we do have that which is a one that tries to stop God working in our lives. Oh, yeah, I guess maybe it wasn't a mistake saying America, because God placed America as a home for those that are Christians. That's the reason that it was started so many years ago, to escape persecution and to be able to come over to have religious freedom. But yet, during those times where America was becoming a new nation, the new world, if you would please, do you realize that there was all sorts of problems? Do you realize there was all sorts of struggles? By the way, anytime God does perform a miracle, anytime there is that which is the new birth, there's always struggles. I remember yesterday, Brother Yao and I went out soul winning together, and we gathered in a house. And as we gathered in a house, I had the privilege to lead the mother to Christ, and then there were seven children. And I asked the mom, I said, "Is there a way that I could talk to these children?" And then she said yes. And so I knelt down and went through the plan of salvation, and all these kids gathered around. And did you know they bowed their hearts? They received Christ as Savior. And boy, they just thanked me over and over and over again. I stepped outside, and there was one of the dads, and I said, "Look, your children inside just received Christ as Savior." I said, "They know they're going to go to heaven. Where are you going to go?" He said, "I don't know where I'm going to go." I said, "Would you like to take just a few minutes and let me show you from the Bible what the Bible says about going to heaven?" He said, "I'd like to see that." And so, standing right there at his truck, I showed him how to be saved, and he bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you, that was a miracle. Anytime somebody gets birthed into the family of God, that is a miracle. Oh, let me say it again for those of you kind of slow this morning. Anytime somebody gets birthed into the family of God, that is a miracle. Do we understand 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." The Bible says that ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so when we get saved, we're called into his marvelous light. Now, can I say there are keys to being able to not quit, keys to being able to continue on. Understand this. There's the warfare that surrounds that which is the birth of a miracle. Statement number two, all men fall, but spiritual men get back up. All men fall, but spiritual men get back up. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, the Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth, it says, up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So you ever see one of those things years ago? I forget. I think they called them the rockin' boppin' or something like that. It had sort of like a sand base, and you could blow it up, and it had a round type, and you could hit it, and when you hit it, it would go back and it would stand back up again. No matter how many times you would hit it, it would go down and it would come back up again, filled with air. I know that you could hit it from the side. It would go down and come back up again. You could push it with all your might. It would go. You could sit on it just sit on it and sit on it and sit on it. But when you got off of it, it just come back up again. You know, that's the way a Christian ought to be. You know, you get overcome by things, but you don't have to stay overcome by things. You can get down, but you don't have to stay down. You have a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Can I tell you, because He is alive, because He is doing well, because He's the same God as He was yesterday, because He's not going to change, you can trust in Him. And because you can trust in Him, can I tell you that when you get knocked down, you don't have to stay knocked down. You know, I was out the other day, and Brother Butler took me out to lunch, and I appreciate that. He knows I love shrimp, and he took me to a place that has some of the largest shrimp, and I used to fish out of the Chesapeake when I was in Maryland, and we had my relatives had shrimp boats, and they also had crab boats. And can I tell you that we would go out in the Chesapeake, and as we go out in the Chesapeake and we go shrimping and stuff like that, we pull in some good sized shrimp. But I never had shrimp this big. Boy, I tell you what, they brought a platter out, and it was a pound of shrimp. And he got a pound of shrimp, and I got a pound of shrimp. And when we left there, we weighed another pound because of the shrimp. But it was so good. And we sat there, we broke it open, I should have knew better, had a white shirt on. And boy, I broke that open, that juice flies on me. And so my shirt had changed colors by the time I got done. Not too bad, but still, little dabs here and there. But it was just enjoyable. Now, can I say this? Can I say that there is that which is a person that gets down? You know, a person, I've seen people eat shrimp before, and they put so much hot sauce on it. I remember when Brother John Hum comes here from Thailand, a member of our church, and also, of course, sent out of our church to Thailand. Did you know that when he comes over here, he loves to go out to eat, and he wants me to take him to the hot places? Now, I'm not talking about hot when it's talking about temperature. I'm talking about places where he can take in heat. And I never saw a man taking so much heat in my life. He was sitting there one day, and we were eating, and he said, "Bring it hot." And they said, "How hot?" He said, "As hot as you can make it, that's how hot I want it." And so he started taking it. I was surprised he was surviving. But you know, he sweat so much that his collar was ringing out with sweat. I'm talking about sweat pouring down the back of his neck and pouring out the sides of his neck. I'm talking about sweat pouring down. You could see it just rolling down his face, just sweat. And I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Oh, I love it. I just love it." He said, "This is just wonderful." And I'm thinking, your stomach probably don't love it. But you know, what was happening though is he was somebody that could be able, because he'd practiced this over and over again. This was a part of his practice. He would eat something extremely hot, and he got used to it. He got used to it. Did you know that when you get knocked down, did you know that you ought to be used to the Lord helping you to rise up again? Just used to it. You know, and that's how come some people can take more heat than other people. That's why some people can take more pressure than other people. I think sometimes it's because of that personal relationship that they have with God, and they know how to rely on God, and they trust in God, and God can help them to rise up again and rise up again and rise up again and rise up again. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Is not the Bible true when it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." All right. So God says this. God says that we ought to become the spiritual one for the whole purpose of restoring someone. Restoring someone. You ever see somebody get on a trampoline? When they jump, maybe they'll jump just on the trampoline itself, and they start to get energy as they jump up and down, and they jump up and down, and the more energy they get and the more that they know how to bounce, they go higher and higher. You ever see somebody that jump off the corner of a garage or the corner of a house and they jump on the trampoline? You ever see somebody, if you would please, that puts one of those ropes around their ankles and they jump off of bridges and they go down, and of course there's that cord they hope will always be there as they're doing this type of jumping. Now, can I tell you this, that's what God does in your life, and that's what God does in my life. He's not the one that pushes you off the bridge, but He is the one that will give you a rope to be able to put a fix to your ankle or a fix to your ankles. He is the one that gives you the parachute. He is the one, if you would please, that makes sure that when you jump off, that there's the trampoline that's there that will help you to be able to rebound. Now, how does He do that? Well, He does that because He realizes that as you walk with Him as a child of God, He can help you more. You know, when you desire to be that one that is a spiritual, if I may say it that way, that one that has a desire to be close to God, God can help you more if you're running more to Him or beside Him than you're running from Him. So statement number one, I said that warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Statement number two, all men fall, spiritual men get up. Statement number three, remember, struggles are proof that you've not yet been conquered. Struggles are proof that you've not yet been conquered. You know, one of the true things about a person that's just continuing to go and not quitting is as they continue to fight. I think my mother would have lived longer, I'll be honest with you. My dad outlived my mother, and both of them died at age 57, but mama went first. And my mother, she gave up. She just gave up. She would always walk around the house, and she'd say towards her latter years of life, she'd always walk around the house, and she was always, you know, I think I'll probably die. I think I'll probably die. You know, I think that I'll probably die young. And that was her. That was her. Whereas my dad, he had that bulldog tenacity. You know, and both of them had cancer. And Dad, I remember Dad lived in Delaware. And I remember we were serving in Mississippi at the time. And I had that van. And boy, I got that van up to 90 miles an hour plus. And coming up from the Mississippi, crossing over into Delaware. It's the only time I really wanted a police officer. I had my emergency lights on, and I wanted a police officer to stop me. That way he could give me a police escort. But, oh no, they just waved at me, you know. But I had those emergencies on. They knew it was an emergency. And so, boy, I just went as fast as I possibly could. And the nurse would call us from time to time. They'd say, well, your dad is slipping away. I said, put the phone up to his ear. And I'd say, Daddy, hold on now. Hold on. You hold on. I'm almost there. I've only got two more hours. Oh, you hold on. I'm coming. I'd have prayer with him. And we'd get there. And did you know, I think God had it planned for that young couple that was in that room that day. As soon as we got there and we had prayer with Dad, Dad passed on. He went to heaven. But there was a young couple, I never met them before, and they were standing at my dad's foot, down there by his feet, by his right foot. He was standing right there in the corner. And he took his last breath, and they looked at each other, and they started to weep. They were holding hands, just a young couple. And I said, you know my daddy? They said, oh yeah, we knew Mr. John. We knew Mr. John. And I said, well, let me ask you something. My dad, when he took his last breath, just here a few moments ago, he took his next breath in heaven. Because there was a day when my daddy received Christ as Savior. Amen. I said, he's in heaven and you're weeping and you knew my dad. And I appreciate you loving my dad, but I got a question for you. He's in heaven now. I'm going to go to heaven one day. Where are you going to go? They looked at each other and shrugged their shoulders, and then they said, well, we don't know. I said, there's no better place to find out what the Bible teaches about going to heaven than at the feet of my daddy right here. And I showed them how to be saved, and they bowed their heart and they received Christ as Savior as a young couple. Now, can I say this? Can I say that you remember the struggles? Remember the struggles. That's proof that you've not been conquered yet. As long as my daddy was alive, he was pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing to stay alive until we got there. I think it was by purpose I think God had him to stay alive until we got there, because that couple was not going to leave that room, was not going to leave that room until my daddy passed. And once my daddy passed, they said they were going to leave the room, but they stayed there. They stayed there. I think God kept my daddy alive long enough for that couple to hear the gospel. Now, can I say this? Can I say it's important for you and I to understand that life is not over. When struggles come, you can be able to make it through. Why? Because His grace is sufficient for you. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Over in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And ye shall not need to fight," it says, "in this battle." He says, "Set yourselves and stand still. See the salvation of the Lord with you." Listen to this. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, "Wherefore," he says, "let him that think that he standeth take heed lest he fall." Listen to it, verse 13. "There's no temptation taken you but such as common to man." Listen to it. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." It says, "But will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." All right? So God says this. He says that when the struggles come, don't be so quick to give up. Don't be so quick to throw in the towel. Don't be so quick to walk away. You know, I find this out as a young preacher. I would watch the older men, and I would watch them in churches. And oh my, sometimes they go through trouble in churches, or they go through trouble with their personal finances or something. You know, they go through trouble. They'd have problems. But I watched some of the old men. I was telling Dr. Bachman about this the other day. You know, one of the things that encouraged me as a young preacher is to watch the old men that just stayed with it. They didn't throw in the towel. They didn't give up when struggles came. You know what makes a marriage a good marriage? And every marriage is going to have trouble. You're going to have relationship problems. You say, "Oh, never." Oh, you will. You will. You're not going to have a marriage that's built on a fantasy. There's going to be communication problems. There's going to be misunderstandings. Hello? There's going to be times when you just don't know which way to go. Seems like your spouse doesn't understand you, and you wish they would. Or you wish that they would go eat a pizza, the whole thing. But they're just having trouble. There's going to be problems with your children. In some cases, problems financially. Now, wait a minute. What do? You don't throw in the towel. You don't walk away. You know why people church hop so much? Well, they say, "Well, I had one man that told me this years ago. He said, well, I tell you what. He said, I think I need to go to another church." I said, "Why do you think you need to go to another church?" He said, "I'm not growing." I said, "We always stand in the hallway talking all the time. You can't grow in the hallway talking and fellowshipping all the time. You need to come in where the teaching and the preaching is." Now, can I tell you, listen, we understand this. We understand that you're going to have these struggles, but you don't have to succumb to the struggles. You don't have to succumb to the problems. God can help you to overcome the problems. My brother, my older brother, he loved basketball. Oh, did he love basketball. And we had a basketball court at our house where I grew up in the front of the garage there, had a little basketball court. And Dave would invite people over, and Dave would play them. And he would learn how to play better and learn how to do better. And by the time he graduated high school, we had three scholarships to colleges to go play basketball, college basketball. Now, wait a minute. Here's what he did, though. He practiced it over and over and over and over and over again. He practiced it. He practiced shooting. He practiced laying up. He practiced dunking the ball. He practiced it. He was the highest scorer all 3 years that he was playing on that particular team. Go ahead and see if you can turn it off, sis, if you will. All right? Now watch this, if you will. And so he did this. Here's what he did. He practiced it and practiced it and practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. And that's how you become good at something. You just keep practicing it. Coming to church sometimes is not easy, but you just keep practicing it. If you would please, going out and passing out gospel tracts is not easy, but you just practice it. You practice it. Just like practicing in the orchestra, or practicing singing a song, or practicing teaching a Sunday school class, or practicing, if you would please, being an usher, you practice it. Remember, struggles are proof that you've not yet been conquered. Statement number next. Your battlefield is first won in the heart before it's won on the battlefield. It's first won in the heart. You know, you have to see that God can. Listen to me now. You have to see that God can. I deal with so many different businessmen, and different businessmen have a different outlay in their thinking. I can tell you about two businessmen I'm helping right now. Let me give you an illustration of years ago. There was a businessman I helped years ago, and he had this defeatist attitude. Well, I'm going to start the business, but I don't know usher's helper, if you will. And she needs your help. That's right. He's Mr. Techno. This is Dr. Kramer, and he knows everything about technology. He can shut off your computer from a distance. Now, watch this, if you will. And so, Mr. Techno, Brother Kramer, he can figure it out. But years ago, there was a man, and he just had this attitude. And he sunk, I'm talking about $500,000 in starting this business. But he had this attitude, well, I just don't know if it'll make it. I just don't know if it'll make it. It may fail. I just don't know if it'll make it. And I told him, if you're not sure it's going to make it, don't put $500,000 in it. But can I tell you what happened was this? It failed simply because of the fact he went into it half-heartedly. I think if you're going to serve God, give God everything you've got. Amen. Put it all on the line. Give it him everything you got. Be able to put him first place. The Bible says this, and I'm almost done, but I want you to listen to it. It says here, think about this, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It says, eat, listen to it, and drink, saith the Lord. It says, but thy heart is not with thee. He said this. He said, now, put your heart into it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so make sure that you put your heart completely in it. And then let me give you one last statement, and I'm done. You will never defeat the devil with natural weapons in a natural warfare. You're never going to defeat him with natural weapons and a natural warfare. It's not going to happen. Let me give it to you and I'll quit, but here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth, it says, not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. All right? So if we're in a battle with that which is, the Bible says he comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that he chooses to sift you as wheat. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that he has devices. Do we understand this morning? We understand that you're not going to take and be able to defeat him with natural weapons. It's not going to happen. You can have as many shotguns and as many rifles and as many type of bow and arrows or whatever you want, but you're not going to defeat him that way. You're not going to defeat him by your own reasoning. You're not going to do that. You know, here's what the Bible says. Listen to it. Jesus, of course, being tempted. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, so we understand this. We understand you cannot do it all by yourself. So what is one of the keys? And I'll give you the last point. Here it is. The key to developing a spirit victory, I'm talking about, is serving others. Just serving others. That's one of the keys of developing a spiritual victory. Just serving others. My grandmother loved serving others. Just loved serving others. She'd have people over. I remember living on the farm, 180-acre farm, Millers, Maryland, every Thanksgiving, like we just had, every Thanksgiving. They would invite people from far and wide. I mean, they would have, 30, 40, sometimes upward to 50 people that would come to the house. And these were all neighboring farmers that would come. There were so many turkeys and so much ham. There were so much sweet potatoes and all my macaroni. It would be running out your ears. All pies and cakes and all sorts of stuff. Lemonade, all my, by the gallons of lemonade and coffee everywhere. And all out there on the lawn, all these people would come. They'd come and they'd eat, and then they'd go out and play softball in the field. We had volleyball nets set up and all that stuff. And then they'd come back and eat the second time, you know, and just fellowshipping around. Now, can I tell you this? We know this for sure, that everybody was focusing on somebody else that day. You know, there was no fighting. There was no disputing. We had some neighbors that were cantankerous. But did you know that they were getting along that day? And that's the way it ought to be in serving Christ. The book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, here's what it says. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. This is the last verses I'll read. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, it says, unto them that are of the household of faith. Now here's what he says. He said, in due season you'll reap. Here's your conditional clause. If you faint not. So God says that you'll be able to reap if you faint not. You just keep going. You just keep going. So what's the key, if you would please, to being able to finish well? What's the key, if you will, to being able to have success in your life? You know, that last part is just serving others and just deciding that you're going to be that individual, that you're just going to continue. You're just going to continue. Oh, I cannot begin to tell you, if you study all those that are inventors, how so many times they'd be discouraged, but they just kept going. They just kept going. They just kept going. I was listening to a broadcast the other day. There's a doctor that lives here in the United States. He's 108 years of age, still practices medicine, 108 years of age, and just lost his wife this past year. And oh my, he said, you know, he said, I wish I would have did what I knew I should have done. He said, I feel like I failed my wife. But he said this, he said, I can help other people, because this is what they need to do to be able to be well during these times of corona. Now, can I tell you this? Can I say this? Can I say it's important for you and I to be able to take what we know and to be able to help other people? That's why I love soul winning. That's why I love our church, running the buses and helping those that do not otherwise have a way to be able to come to church. People, if you would please, that we reach in different places, and all as our businessmen and those that have refined living come together, and unselfishly we try to be able to get the gospel across the waters and be able to tell people about Christ around the world. Now, can I tell you, we couldn't continue to be able to do that if all of a sudden people got selfish. Couldn't do it. But because we give and because we care, people get the opportunity to be able to hear the gospel here, there, and everywhere. And may I say, God wants us to be successful in giving out the gospel and never quitting. Father, bless, I pray. Thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come. And God, I pray that you'd help us, please. Help us to understand that we need to be individuals, if you will, that just decides that we're not going to quit. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep pursuing. We're going to never give up and giving out that which is the gospel of Christ, or helping someone, or we ourselves growing the way we should be, so that we could be like that that just man that riseth up again. May it be true that you help us to become all that we should be for others' sake. And dear Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. There's a doubt. There's a reservation. There's a lack of peace. There's an uncertainty in my heart. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. Would you raise your hand? Just put it up and put it down ever so mildly. Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you right here. Thank you. Pastor, also me, please. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. There's a doubt. There's a reservation. There's a lack of peace. I'm not certain I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. Would you raise your hand? Anybody else like that? God bless you here and here also. Thank you. And over here, God bless you, friend. Thank you. Pastor, that's me also. I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven, but I like to know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Would you put it up? Just put it up, put it down, just like these adults have already done. And Pastor, also me, I'm not certain I'm going to go to heaven. Please pray for me. Most important decision you could ever make, my dear friend, is what you're going to do and where you're going to spend eternity. It's only by Christ can a person be able to go to heaven, by receiving Him as Savior. You say, Pastor, I've never done that. I'd sure like to do it. Please pray for me. That's me also. Would you raise your hand? Anybody else like that? Pastor, God spoke to my heart, and I want to be that individual that doesn't quit. I want to be that individual that continues to be the daddy or the mama or the individual that's trying to live for God, or the child that's trying to live for God. Just don't want to quit as a Christian. Please pray for me. Here's my hand. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Mine's there too. Let's all stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Show us a truth that would help us, Lord, to be able to live in this way of being successful. This way, if you would, please, of being an overcomer. This way, if you will, of not quitting. Father, let it be so this morning. Father, as you showed us from the Bible, show us a way every day to be able to appropriate those principles in our life. And Lord, we thank you. Then I pray for these that raise their hands. Lord, they raise their hands not knowing they're going to go to heaven. You help them to come, please, so that they can too receive Christ. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As our brother begins to sing, they begin to play. Perhaps you'd like to come this morning. Maybe.